Eye on the Arctic. Views from the North. I'm Elise Quinn. Now, suicide rates in Canada's four Inuit regions are staggering. Just one recent example, a study from this year found that in Nunatsiavut, that's the Inuit self-governing region in the Atlantic Canadian province of Newfoundland and Labrador, that suicide rates were 20 times higher for Inuit than that of the non-Indigenous population in the province. Now, though this has been a pressing social issue in Canada for decades, successive governments at all levels and programs have made little dent in the chronic crisis in the Arctic. But Inuit Taparik Kanatami, that's Canada's national Inuit organization, is trying to change that. This week, they released their National Inuit Suicide Prevention Strategy, where they outline what they think could make a difference. And joining us today to tell us why is ITK's president, Natan Obed. He joins me on the phone today from Ottawa. Natan Obed, hello.
Hello.
Now, before we get into the strategy, I know this is a hard sort of history to boil down, but I just want to give our international listeners who are hearing about this issue for the first time just a little bit of context about what's behind the high suicide rate in Canada's Arctic Inuit communities.
Historically, Canadian Inuit did not have high rates of suicide, and it wasn't until the 1970s that our rates began to be elevated, and it wasn't until the 1980s and 1990s that we've seen the rates that we now have today. So across Canada, we have rates that are over 10 times the national average. And like you said, in certain regions of Inuit jurisdictions in Canada, it is as much as 20 times. A lot of this stems from social inequity and loss of self-determination and government policies between the 1950s and the 1970s that created communities that had huge environmental risk for suicide. I use the term environmental risk in that people grew up in poor housing. People didn't have quality education. People lived in poverty. People didn't have the ability to self-govern. Many different major decisions about their lives were made for them. They were taken from their ancestral homes and relocated to different places. All of these things had a cumulative effect on our society. And the first generation of Inuit who grew up in this new reality, in these settlements, were the ones that first experienced elevated rates. And that is what we're trying to change. Because we still have social inequity. We still haven't gone beyond the fact that we don't have the mental health services or the ability to heal from intergenerational or historical trauma.
It's a huge, huge range of issues and pressures. As you mentioned, it's something that has been going on for so long. Tell us a little bit about, you know, about this strategy and why now. What did you think, ITK, think that, you know, now was the time to have something like this in place and have a strategy coming out of the organization?
Canada does not have a national strategy, and Inuit have not had a national strategy in Canada before. We have seen success from other jurisdictions in the world. So globally, we see the effectiveness of specific targeted suicide prevention strategies and that they can be successful. We look at even other jurisdictions within Canada, like Quebec, which has done an amazing job on lowering its youth suicide rate. And we know that if we take concerted action together, that we can create positive change. The WHO talks about suicide as a largely preventable public health issue. And so we have taken that terminology and said that this is a largely preventable public health crisis. We just need to think of it like a public health issue, like lung cancer or like infectious disease, where we know that we need to attack many different parts of our society to achieve a larger public health goal.
You know, the document, it's a long one. There's really a number of points, a number of actions to be taken. Could I ask for your opinion on maybe some of the main points that you'd like to highlight from the strategy that are maybe things that the public or Canada as a country hasn't thought about before, or places where you've put emphasis that you think is important that has been overlooked in the past?
I think it is the holistic approach that we're taking that is something that is very important. It isn't a one problem, one solution type issue, and that is common on suicide prevention efforts everywhere. But for us, Indigenous suicide has often been characterized as something different, and that the power to change this, but nobody else necessarily can understand it. What we're saying is we'll meet you in the middle. We want globally informed, evidence-based ideas that are informing our action. But we want them to be Inuit-specific. And we know that a large part of the reason why we have poor mental health, or the reason why there are a multitude of risk factors present in our communities, is because of our recent history. And moving beyond that history is going to take resources to build social equity. And that is a pillar of what we want to talk about. So it's interesting. It's on one hand, we're reaching out and saying we need mobilization and support from existing resources and existing methodologies, but we need them to be specific to Inuit because our reality is so different. Our healthcare system is in many ways incomplete. We don't have a continuum of care for mental health services the way that most Canadians do. We also know that we need to do more for our youth. We know that too many of our young people grow up in homes that are food insecure, or that they're exposed to violence or sexual abuse. We need to do all that we can to curb that and to give our children the best possible start in life. We can build resilience and we can build coping skills. All of these things will play into results later in life. It isn't to say that we can't deal with acute trauma and loss in the moment. We can't link people at risk with the services for care. But to make a huge difference and to overturn the now 30-year high rates of suicide in our communities, we need to think big, and we need the Canadian community to think big with us.
How much do you think that the different jurisdictions have of what they need? We have something like Nunavut, which is a territory. We have Nunavik, you know, within Quebec, Nunatsiavut, the Inuvialuit settlement region. You know, what do you see the strategy as sort of a starting point, a sort of a blueprint? Do the different regions have the resources? You know, what do you think these communities need?
We are trying to unite Inuit across Inuit Nunangat with a common message, a new narrative, if you will, about why suicide is the way that it is in our communities. We're all affected, and so many of us have very personal reasons why we think that suicide is such an issue in this day and age. So one thing that a national strategy can do is bring together a common voice that is very hard to say and to spread, but is something that we need to do to stand up and confront suicide in our communities. And then it also leads to a common message about prevention and what needs to happen with prevention. We have amazing work that's happening across the Arctic. So many people in communities or in regions have dedicated their whole lives to suicide prevention and keeping their community members safe. We need at the national level to mobilize to support all of that work and enhance it and build capacity and bring new dollars and bring an overarching perspective that the federal governments and the provincial and territorial governments and Inuit organizations and helpful organizations like the Mental Health Commission of Canada can all work with us together with one common purpose and one common goal.
And is there work to do in terms of making the Canadian public more aware? I mean, we talked about, you know, the shocking statistic in Nunatsiavut, but I saw in one, I'm sorry, I don't have the study in front of me, but in Nunavut, they were talking that for men between the ages of 15 and 19, that The suicide rate is 40 times higher in that demographic than the south of Canada. It's hard to believe that if we had those types of statistics in a region of Vancouver or a region of Montreal, that there wouldn't be more momentum behind finding a solution. Does the remoteness of most Arctic communities sort of leave Canadians less engaged? Do they need to be engaged? What's your read about how we should look at this as a country?
I think that we need to start thinking of this issue in Canadian terms. And part of it is quantifying what is happening. So our population is 60,000. There are 60,000 Inuit in Canada. Over the last 15 years, there have been about 745 suicides. And if you imagine a town like Fort McMurray, and imagine that there were that many suicides over the past 15 years in that community in Alberta, there would be mobilization at the national level to do something and to help. Because we are scattered across 35% of Canada's landmass, and because we are a population that is a marginal and a minority population, we still have to convince Canadians that this is an issue that they need to care about. And so what we've tried to do is equate this issue with something like lung cancer, where the response to lung cancer and smoking in many ways is holistic and starts at a very young age, talking about anti-smoking. And then people who do smoke, there are smoking cessation programs. There are also, when people get sick and they get cancer, there are all sorts of different supports for those people, all the way up through to palliative care. For suicide prevention efforts, we need to move beyond one approach, right? That we will provide one intervention. Perhaps we will provide healing in communities, or perhaps we will provide on the land camps. We need to accept that solving this issue is going to be just as complex and in many ways takes the same methodology as something like the big issue of lung cancer and how it presented itself over the last 50 years.
And Annette Nobed will post the link to the strategy on our website for people that want to see, read the whole thing and look at the details. Thank you so much for speaking to us about this morning.
Thank you for talking with me.